Now we turn our thoughts this morning to the passage that we have read in Luke chapter 10 and the last section there, verse 38. It came to pass as they went that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." One thing is needful. Now this township, Bethany, it's just about 2 miles on the southeast base of the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem. That is to say, it's really a very short distance from Jerusalem. It's on the road to Jericho. And this is the place where this lovely family lived. Two sisters and a brother, Martha, Mary, their brother Lazarus. And it was here at Bethany that some of the stupendous things that Christ wrought were done. For example, not far away on this road to Jerusalem, a symbolic miracle of judgment took place. Indeed, it's the only miracle of judgment that we read of in the New Testament. I'm talking about Christ when he cursed the fruitless fig tree. You remember that memorable occasion as he was walking along and he came to the tree. He wanted to take fruit from it, and there was no fruit on the tree, and he cursed it. An extraordinary thing. And immediately that bush began to wither from the roots, so that when they retraced their steps, the disciples were amazed and they said, "Lord, look at this fig tree. It's gone already." Now, of course, it was a symbolic miracle of judgment, as we have said. You see, here was this fig tree making pretensions. It was full of leaf. It had every evidence that it was in good heart, in good shape, and yet it wasn't. It wasn't really bearing what it ought to have borne, fruit. And it was an indictment upon the land of Israel, and this is what Jesus intended it to be. They were like a vine, fruitless. And just as that fig tree was cursed by him, so the nation Israel was ripening fast for judgment. And you know, as you and I think of something like that, we apply it to ourselves. Maybe some of you have read the works of Robert Murray McShane. I'm not just talking about his life, but all his works. And you remember how he was a beautiful poet, and he wrote some very beautiful lines. And among them he wrote on the fruitless fig tree. "How many years," he says, "hast thou, my heart, acted the barren fig tree's part, leafy and fresh and fair, enjoying heavenly dews of grace and sunny smiles from God's own face? But where the fruit? Ah, where?" And so it is when you and I look into these lives of ours. We've enjoyed the sunny smiles from God's own face. But where is the fruit? Well, it was near Bethany that that extraordinary miracle took place. And also here at Bethany, this was the place where one of the most extraordinary miracles of all time took place. I refer to the raising of Lazarus from the dead. He was a friend of Jesus. I'm saying he was a friend of Jesus. But he sickened and died. You hear all sorts of talk going on today about sickness being part. It shouldn't be there that Christian people should never get sick. That if you're in Christ, you should have no sicknesses of any kind. I don't know where people get this sort of idea. It's certainly not scriptural. It doesn't appear in the Bible. The friend of Jesus, Lazarus, he sickened. And not only that, but he died. And those people who talk about you shouldn't be sick, what are they going to say when they come to die? If you don't get sick, you shouldn't die. Well, Jesus' friend Lazarus sickened and he died and was buried. But you remember how Jesus came to his grave and asked for it to be opened, and he brought Lazarus back from the cold grip of death. And who dare dispute the claim of Jesus? And what is the claim that he makes? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So Bethany is a wonderful place. The place where the miracle of judgment took place. And the place where this tremendous miracle of resurrection took place. And Bethany was the place too that had the unique distinction of witnessing our Lord's ascension to heaven. When he was received back into glory, and when he was given the place of honor at the right hand of his Father. Isn't it in chapter 24 of Luke that we read, Jesus led them out as far as to Bethany. It must have been a tremendous occasion. He led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands in benediction and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And so that is what happened at Bethany. And this favored town was the place where Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus lived. Now, it would appear to be that Martha was the elder of the two sisters. And some have suggested that really the house belonged to her. We can't say for sure. But anyway, in this home, Jesus always found an open door. And he always received gracious hospitality. And he was pleased to accept it. And you know, it's a wonderful thing if a home has been placed at the disposal of Christ. And you and I have to ask ourselves, have we placed our own homes at the disposal of our Master? Here was an open home. Here was a home where we're sure to find a welcome. Never turned away. And let's remember too that the two sisters were unquestionably followers of our Lord. And this isn't an incident which shows to us one who receives Christ and the other who rejects him. It's not a story concerning that at all. It's not a story that tells us that Martha rejected the Savior and Mary received him. What Martha did for Jesus on this occasion was something that would cease with her. It had no spiritual quality. It had no permanent value. But what Mary did was something that would never cease, because what she did by sitting at the feet of Jesus had permanent value. It had spiritual quality. It was therefore of eternal significance. You see, the one woman represents the contemplative and the other represents the active style of Christian service. And the incident speaks to us of two things, and it's these two things I want us to consider. And the two things are these: that distractions of whatever kind must never take precedence over divine priorities. So I'm saying that distractions of whatever kind must never take precedence over divine priorities. And also, and this is the second thing I want us to consider, there is a choice that you and I make that brings untold blessing. Well, let's look at these two things. Distractions of whatever kind mustn't take precedence over divine priorities. It says that it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him. She had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. Martha was cumbered. That is to say, she was distracted. She was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come and help me." Now there can be no question at all that Martha loved Jesus and that Martha had the greatest regard for him. And not only that, but we also read that Jesus loved Martha, because in John chapter 11, verse 5, it says, "Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." And you recall how it was Martha who went to meet Jesus when he came to see them about the death of Lazarus. And it was Martha, you see, who revealed her unquestioning trust in Jesus Christ. Because this is what she said. "Lord," she said, "if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." So you see, she had unquestioning trust in Christ. If only he had been there, this tragedy would never have taken place. Or even at this present particular moment, if only he would intercede to his father, the unthinkable might happen. On this occasion, however, Martha is full of domestic cares. And you know, when we become full of domestic cares, they can have a hardening effect upon us. No doubt, you see, this woman wanted to serve Christ well at that table. And I have no doubt at all that she put every effort that she could possibly put into her duties with regard to Christ. And yet the more she tried and the more effort she put into it, the more harassed she became. And in her exasperation, she ascribed a lack of consideration on the part of Jesus. She began to call in question whether he was really interested in the minutiae of life. "Lord," she said to him, "dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? You can see for yourself how harassed I am. You can see for yourself how all these things are getting me down. And you can see my sister, she isn't even troubling herself to help me." Now you recall how in Revelation 3 and 19, it says this with regard to Jesus: "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." And that is why Jesus rebuked and chastened this woman because he loved her. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You see, the poor woman was distracted, for that's what this word cumbered means. She was distracted by the legitimate duties that had fallen upon her. She was in danger, you see, of usurping the place that ought to have been given to him, and it must be given to him. And isn't this the tragedy, that for so many of us, the domestic issues and the personal anxieties come in and they crowd Christ out of life? Now, you might say to me, it's all very well to talk like that, but when you're in the midst of a very busy and perplexing week, it's very difficult just to lay off everything and to sit down at the feet of Christ, as you would suggest. And yet we must give time to Christ. You see, the trouble with us is that we become so preoccupied with so many things. Maybe it is that you become preoccupied with your home to the exclusion of Christ. And there are many people who become preoccupied with their homes to the exclusion of Christ. You're thinking of all the things that you're going to do. You're piling up the marbles, the pieces of marble that mean so much, the expensive things. Preoccupied with these things for your home, you begin to forget that there is Christ Jesus. Or perhaps it is that you become preoccupied with your family. And some people do become preoccupied with their families, and all they're thinking of is in terms of how well their families are going to do, how they're going to get on. Now, it's not just worldly people that think along these lines. But there are Christian parents, and if they are not careful, they allow this to get a prior place in their thinking, and their only consideration is, you see, how well their families are going to do in life, how well they're going to get on. And as they are thinking along these lines, Christ has been crowded out, preoccupied, you see. Preoccupied with businesses. And there are many people who have become so preoccupied with their businesses that Christ has given minimal time. It's very dangerous to become preoccupied with our businesses. You may say that, well, that's got nothing to do with you as a minister of the gospel, but it has everything to do with me. Because I may allow the professionalism of being a minister to crowd out Christ. You may not have thought of that. And yet it's true. Taken up, you see, with committee work. Taken up with visiting the congregation. Taken up with going here and going there, to the exclusion of sitting down for a little while and sitting down with Christ. So you see, we are all involved in this. Our businesses, our professional life, we allow it to master us, to take over in our time scale, and we crowd Christ out. It's the same too with ambitions. There's nothing wrong with a healthy ambition in life, but you know, there are some people that become so ambitious that all they can think all the day long is, how are they going to achieve their ambitions? Some people too are so caught up with wealth and how to gain wealth and make more that Christ is crowded out. Martha, Martha, do you hear the voice of Christ? Put your name there. Put your name instead of Martha's. And Jesus is saying to you, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. It's the same, you see, we can become over-anxious about the sicknesses of life, preoccupied with health. And there are many people, and they are preoccupied with this all the day long. What new thing are they going to take that will give them extra zip in life? What new thing are they going to try to give them just that little bit more onto life? Some people are preoccupied with that, and that some are preoccupied with loneliness. How is it going to be for them when death strikes and takes away their husband, their wife, their children, their parents, and they're left alone? How are they going to cope with loneliness? And this becomes a preoccupation in their thinking. This was the mistake, you see, of the rich fool. He became so preoccupied with his lifestyle, with everything that had to do with it. He laid up treasure for himself upon earth, it tells us, but he wasn't rich towards God. You see, as far as he was concerned, the earthly was of more importance to him than the heavenly. Until Jesus brought home to him this, that he was a fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And isn't this what our Lord was saying to Martha? You're careful and you're troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And so what I am saying to you, as I say it to myself, don't allow the things of this present life to preoccupy you so much that they crowd Christ out. And there is this choice that brings untold blessing. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I remember being very struck when I was reading on one occasion Andrew Bonner's diary. And he was a very honest free churchman. And he always said, you see, that if he missed giving God the first part of his day, the rest of the day was completely upset for him. And I think that that is true. I've tried to do what he has said, but I failed in many instances. But I have found, as Bonner has found, that if you put God first at the beginning of the day, all the other things will fall into their own place and be given their rightful full place in life. Bonner used to feel, you see, that if he didn't start the day with prayer, it never went right for him. If he didn't start the day with reading some verses from the Word of God, the day didn't seem to go right at all. One thing is needful. And this is the one thing, you see, that Mary had chosen, the good part. She sat at Jesus' feet. And by saying that she sat at Jesus' feet, it just means that she learned of Christ. You know, it was the custom in the East for a teacher to sit upon an elevated seat. And his scholars used to sit around him on the floor on mats. And this is how Paul recounts his own life as he tells the Jews of it. He says, I am verily a man which am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. And he goes on to say, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. There I was, says the Apostle Paul, I used to go to Gamaliel to sit at his feet, to take my place at the feet of that great man as one of his scholars, just to listen to his wisdom and to drink it all in. And as a scholar, the apostle in his early days took that humble place of learning in the school of the great Jewish rabbi. And this, you see, is what Mary was indicating and expressing, that she had a need, and only Christ could satisfy that need and meet her requirements. You see, she knew so little of the eternal things. She knew so little of the spiritual things, and who better to inform her than Jesus, the Son of God? And what a blessing it is when we learn from him. Learn of me, says Jesus. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. And you know, when you and I consider what our basic need is as creatures, what is it? What is our basic need? Our basic need, of course, is to be saved from our sins and to be reconciled to God. But that can only be accomplished through Christ. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And you see, this was the occasion for Mary to sit and to listen to him as he spoke to her about the way to God. And I suppose that if you were to speak to Mary on this occasion and said to her, what was it like sitting at his feet? What was the atmosphere like? Wouldn't she say, surely the Lord is in this place? Wouldn't she go on to say, this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven? Just as Jacob said when he met with God at Bethel. And as Mary listened to the gracious words that proceeded from the mouth of Christ, like others of her time, she would testify, never man spake like this man. You see, here was Jesus imparting to her eternal insights. Here was Jesus imparting to her divine instruction. And that constituted the good part that could never be taken from her. This is what we must give time to listen to divine instruction which comes from Christ alone, to be made wise to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You remember the great longing, we were singing his words just a short time ago, the great longing in the heart of David. His longing was for constant fellowship with God. It was what he coveted. You know, David had made many mistakes in his life. Some of the mistakes you marvel at, that a man of his wisdom, that a man of his piety could make the mistakes that he made. And yet he made these mistakes. But there was this about the man. He yearned for fellowship with God and for peace with God. And he puts it like this, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. All that I want, said David, above everything else, is to be instructed by God himself and to behold his beauty and to admire it. And this was what Mary longed for. It's what Job longed for too. You remember how he puts it? Oh, he says that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Here was this man, and he was searching for God. And he cries out, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I, says Job, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Well, this is how it was with Mary. She was just a poor sinner, a member of Adam's race. She needed a savior. She needed one who could remove her guilt and reconcile her to God. And she found this savior in the person of Christ. And she availed herself of a place at his feet. And this was for her of more importance than anything else. It was the one thing that was needful. It was the good part that would never be taken from her. And for Mary, it was a personal choice. There was no other choice as important as it. It was an everlasting choice, and she made it. And so she was found at the feet of Christ. And Jesus says, one thing is needful. That one thing is to be at my feet and to listen to me. Mary has chosen that good part. It won't be taken from her, irrespective of how busy you may be, Martha. Well, I leave it with you. As you and I have been going over this little incident, we ask ourselves, what about us? Are you allowing the distractions of life to crowd out the spiritual and the eternal? What distractions? Well, the domestic burdens that you have, the personal anxieties. Are these things taking precedence over what is divine and what is eternal? It's Matthew Henry who puts it like this: we must either sit at Christ's feet or be made his footstool. If we sit with him at his feet now, says Matthew Henry, we shall sit with him on his throne shortly. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. May we make that same choice too. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we pray that as we consider the priorities of life, may we make sure that the one thing that is needful is the one thing that we claim. Be with us, O Lord, we pray. Take us to our respective homes in safety. Bless the services of the remainder of the day, the Gaelic service in the afternoon. Be gracious to thy servant who comes to us, and bless us as we gather here in the evening. And blot out our sins. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.